try to take me to a disco, you won't even get me out on the floor. Sam's clean old holes, they're not as good as sloppy holes. Oh, I like them old time sloppy holes. Oh, oh, oh. Old time sloppy holes. My off air version was better.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was better.
We need the hot mic.
Oh, wow. Well.
I like them old time sloppy holes, the kind of holes that just thrill the soul. Today's holes ain't got the same hole. I like those old time sloppy holes. Oh, 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 oh.
There we go.
There we go. It came back to me in a flash of brilliance. I was in that period, like when you take a hit and your like brain is just kind of scrambled for a moment, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't come out quite right. But once I got back to where I was, it's just like when you get back to those old sloppy holes.
Exactly. That nostalgia for having your brain work.
Yeah, or having your brain warped, as in this week's feature.
Yes.
But also, welcome to the Raincoat Report.
Yes, this is Boss here with Jeremy.
Hello, I'm in a Bob Seger cover band.
What's your name?
Bob Seger.
Oh, okay.
But it's spelled with three E's. And it's a Silver Butthole band.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, this week we were talking about night dreams. So, as we all know, the government.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is also the Raincoat Files.
Yes, and they've been spooky.
It's the scariest noise I got.
As you know, the government has enlisted us to.
Yeah, we've been doing black work and wet work too.
Wet black work.
Yeah. Oh boy, I've got a bottle of black that I brought back from one of the missions. We're not going to pop it open this week, but we're going to get into it soon.
Yes, maybe
a little teaser for the far future.
Yes. As part of our ongoing Raincoat Files coverage, we're talking night dreams this week.
Yes. Have you had any night dreams lately?
I feel like I had an anxious dream, like, that I woke up from to have to go to work one morning this week, but I don't remember what it was.
That's fair. I have the same dream every night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm working at the dollar store again, but it's also the mental hospital.
Oh.
So every night, I'm, like, stocking shelves and wrangling patients. And now a little bit of my new job has started to seep in. So, like, the dollar store is, like, partly a factory.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think I'm locked in the dream cycle. And I think it's because I smoke so heavily. But I know that if I stop, my dreams will become uncomfortably lucid and will cause me great terror. The last time I had a smoke break was a couple of years ago. And I fell asleep and was basically having a Twin Peaks dream, except like the darkness at the heart of the town was this like Lovecraftian kind of monster that they had in like a pit that they just had to like feed like children to every now and then.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't like this. I want to wake up.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
I'm sure after long enough of a break, they'd mature into full-on Freddy Krueger nightmares.
Yeah, he's trying to get in, and that's why I have to keep up a haze screen to keep him out.
Right.
But no, those are my night dreams, or my night dream, as we might call it. It's
a recurring night dream.
Mm-hmm.
But you could say that in some ways, there's several night dreams that terrorize you throughout your month.
Yeah, there's variations on a theme. Sometimes the patients get so rowdy.
Fair enough. But also about night dreams, it's a 1981 pornographic film written by Steven Seyedian, who was the writer and director of Cafe Flesh, which we've covered in the past.
Yes, far back, like episode 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
So way, way back. I don't even know what number we're on anymore. We cracked 100 and I stopped counting.
We're in like the 180s, I think.
Oh, God. We got to start maybe doing something for 200.
Yeah, I've got an idea for it. I just need to like figure it out and like decide to put time into it. We'll talk off air.
Let's get the gun.
Oh,
200th episode is the one where you let me get the gun.
You get a 200 bullet salute just firing up into the air behind my house.
Yeah, that's what we're going to record. They'll love it. No one's going to call the cops. Cafe Flesh, a long time ago, but also far in the future, just like 1995.
Steven Seyedian also directed Dr. Caligari, the 1989 version of the story.
And that's not a hardcore film, though.
Not a hardcore film. It's a sexual, weird, horror-ish film.
Sure. It's kind of an erotic nightmare, perhaps.
Sure.
Like a night dream.
You should watch it for sure.
I should. I haven't seen it yet, obviously.
I watched it and was very taken with it.
Excellent.
I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and he would also direct a few other pornographic films. You know, he made some really trippy stuff, and in this case, directed by, I think they went by FX Pope, which was Francis D'Elia.
Mm-hmm. I think FX Pope also shows up in the credits for Cafe Flesh as well. I'm sure this whole crew just kind of worked together.
Yeah, I think he might have like been a producer or credit or something.
Yeah.
But he also directed like a ton of TV and music videos.
Yeah.
He directed a music video for Wall of Voodoo. And Steven Seyedian also directed a different music video for Wall of Voodoo.
That makes sense.
Which
were they in Wall of Voodoo?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
But
I only hear them on Mexican radio. Thank you.
Which was what Francis D'Elia directed the music video of.
Mm. Excellent.
But as we will see later in this film, that makes a lot of sense. He also directed Blue Oyster Cult's Shooting Shark.
Okay, that's cool.
Ramone's Psychotherapy.
Okay.
Time Has Come Today as well.
Who's that?
Also the Ramones.
Oh, okay.
He directed I Lost on Jeopardy.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love that song.
Oh, Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell?
Man. I love Steven, or is this Francis?
This is Francis.
I love Francis.
He directed Starships, We Built This City.
All right. He's losing me.
And also Sarah and Tomorrow Doesn't Matter Tonight for Starship.
The only hit that's come down to us through the ages is We Built This City, unfortunately.
He directed an episode of the Max Headroom TV series. Four episodes of Friday the 13th, the series.
He's distinguished.
He is distinguished, we'll say. Yes.
That's awesome. He's had a nice career.
He has, yes. But, okay, all of that's just to say nothing about Night Dreams.
No, but it's good to get an idea of this, and I think watching this film, you can see those later influences, or those the influence of this film on his later projects, like that same kind of new wave style.
Yeah, for sure. God, that Dr. Caligari is really good.
I'm sorry, we're not talking about Dr. Caligari. We're talking about Night Dreams.
This is a night dream. okay. In the film itself, we have quite a bit of Dorothy LeMay, who takes on the lead role.
Yes.
This is the biggest role we've seen for her.
Yeah, normally she's one of the McBrides in the Taboo series, in Taboo 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And I think maybe one other thing we've watched. I think she was in I Am Always...
She was in Champagne for Breakfast.
Okay, she was in... So I Am Always Ready. I know she's in a Topolina film we covered.
Let's see. I bet she is. let's see.
I wonder what it's like to have a well-researched podcast.
I don't know. It sounds like not nearly as much fun.
Yeah, we would just be talking like on NPR, and we've already determined a long time ago that we can't do NPR voices.
I'm not finding the other the Tobolina film in here. I'm not saying it's not here. I'm just saying that I scrolled the list and didn't notice that stood out.
Well, why don't you?
She isn't. I Am Always Ready. You're right. I just didn't see that while scrolling the list.
That's because you are illiterate.
Yes.
Oh, they made a. She was in a movie named after your cat, Trashy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's like Yoshi, but mean. Get it?
Well, Yoshi himself is mean as hell anyway.
Absolutely true.
We also have appearances by Jacqueline Lorians, who I believe was one of the pizza girls.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Michelle Bauer in a non-sex role, just as a chained-up woman in hell. Kevin James is in a lot of this film, in fact.
Yeah. Primarily, though, he is Heaven Man.
He is Heaven Man. That's what he's credited as. Jennifer West is in here, and also it's worth pointing out that the writer Steven Seyedian also shows up in here as a slice of bread.
Yeah. Yep, that's the kind of movie we're going to watch.
Yes. So, Night Dreams. If you don't take care of your night dreams, they'll become nightmares.
Yeah, you got to have a nice routine before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, jack off and, like, fall asleep in a pool of your own filth is good. Or, like, I don't know, like establish, like, a skin routine and don't use your phone or something. I don't know.
You had two directions that you went in for it, and I appreciate that they're different approaches to the same issue.
If you're just letting your cum just kind of sleep on your skin overnight, that's basically a skin treatment.
Oh yeah, I guess you're right.
At least for those spots it hits. I don't know, man. This is a porn podcast. It's not a true crime beauty tips podcast, okay?
I guess you're right. Well, I guess with that, that's as good a time as any for us to go to break. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about Night Dreams.
I know you're watching me. I can feel your eyes like fingers touching me in certain places. I can feel my pussy so open you can see inside me. I feel so juicy I can't stop. I feel my clit so wet and everyone can see. I feel so dirty. Like the time the TV face caught me and it was so mad I couldn't stop rubbing my pussy, my little pussy. I know you're watching me and I don't care.
Well, Mrs. Van Houten seems to be on fire today.
We're back.
Yes, we are back. We are back on the Raincoat Report, and it's now time to talk about our night dreams. Or at least those of Steven Seyedian and F.X. Pope. So we open with the sound of a fast heartbeat as we get our credits. So we kind of open with an eerie tone. And then our first actual shot of what's going on, we open with a close-up shot of a woman's face. And this is Dorothy LeMay, Mrs. Van Houten. We see she's in a white hospital gown with wires running to her body. She's playing with herself as she rambles wildly. She says, "I know you're watching me. I can feel your eyes like fingers touching me in certain places. I can feel my pussy so open. You can see deep inside me.
Hmm.
I feel so juicy. I can't stop. I feel my clit so wet. No one can see. I feel so dirty." She just rambles on and on.
Yeah. So she's in a hospital, I suppose. Some sort of facility that's got her hooked up to machines. And I think she's supposed to be asleep. She doesn't seem to be asleep.
I don't know. I thought she was awake and just rambling.
Maybe she's like under hypnosis.
I think that this was them trying to give her one of those sleep studies, but she never fell asleep.
Oh. Yeah, she had a bunch of coffee before she came in.
And, they wired her up and were just waiting for her to fall asleep to see if she like stopped breathing in the middle of the night. But
No. Nope.
She's just running around screaming and masturbating.
Yeah. This is a crazy old place.
So then we cut to a couple of people, the doctors, who are watching. The male doctor here is Andy Nichols, and the female doctor is Jennifer West.
Andy Nichols, that's Max Melodramatic.
Yes, yes it is.
Yes, of Cafe Flesh. I've seen him a couple times. Also, he was in those Devil and Miss Jones 3 and 4.
Yes.
Is one of the narrators.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, one of the people who, like, dated kinda, her or something.
Something, or was her brother. Just someone talking between segments. Yeah.
So they're watching. The male doctor notes, Mrs. Van Houten seems to be on fire today. The female doctor says she's never seen her like this before. We cut back to Mrs. Van Houten rambling and masturbating. The female doctor says she must be experiencing some sort of erotic trauma. The male doctor says she must be reliving the past. Mrs. Van Houten says, you think you have me figured out. She goes on about being a housewife with children and a husband. The doctors contemplate what she might be seeing in front of herself. We cut back to Mrs. Van Houten and see her looking off to the corner of the room. And then we see a haunting face cast in red light. We then cut to what appears to be a child's room with some somewhat scary-looking dolls about.
Yeah, it's frightening.
There's red and green lights lightly illuminating the corners.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle is a box, which is making the tones of your traditional jack-in-the-box being cranked.
I immediately got scared.
Yes, I
started cranking. I was terrified. It's only a matter of time. And then...
Sure enough, the box eventually erupts with our Jack, a man in a red suit with a hole cut out for his penis to stick through.
Mm-hmm. And maybe one of the most terrifying masks ever.
Yes, he has a scary white mask, and he's approaching a woman's body, which is Mrs. Van Houten in the shadows.
It's kind of like moon-shaped and has teeth jutting out of it.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like the way like a horse's gut, like teeth kind of point out.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he just spends so much time just jamming his tongue through it.
Yeah, he does. So our Jack here is one of several roles played by Kevin James. The Jack begins to go down on Mrs. Van Houten, like you said, sticking his tongue out of the hole in the front of his mask. And we see her sucking his cock as well. I think that there's supposed to be 69ing in this scene, but the positions don't actually work out that way in either shot.
No, and don't forget to mention in the background is just like this constant unnerving laughter.
Yes, there's unnerving laughter.
There's like
and
the laughter of like children lights. And adults. So it's like all commingled. And then occasionally they'll flash back to like that red puppet face.
Yeah.
The scene's evil. This is like the kind of thing that they showed me when they were training me for CIA. They just kept showing me this movie and then I was ready to kill.
So we see the Jack rubbing her clit with his gloved fingers and then stimulating it with a scary pointy nose.
Yes.
And then he penetrates Mrs. Van Houten with his nose, spending some time fucking her with it. The Jack begins to fuck Mrs. Van Houten with his exposed cock as she lays back on the floor. The Jack pounds away for a few minutes here, before eventually pulling out and coming on her pubes and belly. Mrs. Van Houten smears the cum into her skin and rubs his cock a bit more. We cut back to the doctors watching Mrs. Van Houten in her room. The female doctor notes, her husband says she's never had an orgasm. The male doctor says, her heartbeat says otherwise. She's definitely excited. Mrs. Van Houten looks at her ass in a mirror. She talks about how beautiful her cheeks are and how wonderful her asshole is and how many men would love them. She adds that she wants a woman to touch all over them too. The female doctor says, let's give her more. She has incredible capacity.
So are they just giving her, are they I guess they're jolting her?
I don't know.
This is an odd experiment. It's just like a Stanford prison experiment or a Milgram experiment, whichever one of those, where they were just like, just do a little more shock.
Yeah.
Just a little more. But instead of like torturing the person, they're just getting off.
Yeah. We then cut to a shot out in the desert and see two women in cowboy hats making out as we hear a coyote howling. They should find shelter fast. Coyotes are serious business.
They should. They're going to be torn to shreds.
This is Jacqueline Lorians and Danielle as the cowboys. So the two women are approached by Mrs. Van Houten. She tells the women she knows they want her pussy. The other two women in unison chant, "We love the feel of fire, the way it burns. Ooh, we love to feel it all around us until all we can do is breathe and fuck. Breathe and fuck."
I don't care for that.
It's, you know, a really unsettling delivery.
Yeah.
But Mrs. Van Houten drops her shorts and the two women, again in unison, say, "Look at the bush on her. I bet she's real wet underneath. April showers bring May flowers."
I know that one. That's a classic.
So Mrs. Van Houten steps between the two cowgirls. They're both on their knees. The one in the front of her begins to lick her clit, and the one behind kisses and licks her ass. As this is going on, we get a dark rendition of Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire, in this case covered by Wall of Voodoo.
And this is not the first time we've heard this in a film. I don't remember exactly which film it was in, but we've covered it in the past year where they used this exact version of Wall of Voodoo.
Okay, that makes sense. I recognized it immediately when I heard it, and I couldn't remember where I'd heard it before.
Yes, it's well-tread. I think if we hear it one more time, that'll tie it up with Tubular Bells.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For those keeping score at home.
Yeah.
The cowgirls continue to orally pleasure Mrs. Van Houten. We cut to Mrs. Van Houten sitting on the ground, going down on Danielle as Jacqueline caresses Danielle's body and her own. She begins to rub Danielle's asshole a bit before licking it. Danielle gets on the ground and goes down on Mrs. Van Houten as she makes out with Jacqueline in a very tonguey manner. Mrs. Van Houten then sucks on Jacqueline's nipples a bit before producing a dildo, which she uses to fuck Jacqueline with it as she fingers and licks Danielle's holes at the same time.
She's kept it in a holster because she's a cowgirl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The women eventually chant in unison, "I'm coming, I'm coming, ooh, ah." We then cut back to the doctors watching Mrs. Van Houten as she experiences these night dreams of hers. The male doctor says he doesn't think she can take much more and suggests they sedate her. The female doctor says she'll never learn to experience pleasure if she never gets any. Yeah, I don't know what's happening here.
No, this experiment seems very, calling it an experiment is pretty, it's pretty liberal.
So what I think the story is here is that Mrs. Van Houten killed and ate her husband. And, yeah. Because of a, program that's going on at the prison, a bunch of doctors got access to the prisoners with the ability to just do anything they want to them.
Yes. That's, it's called MK Ultra.
Oh, yeah. We weren't supposed to talk about that on the show.
Shit. They're going to take all the money back.
Shit.
Okay. Well, let's cut it.
Anyhow, the male doctor says, blah, blah, blah.
But that does seem to be what they're kind of doing to her here.
Yeah.
To some extent. I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know.
The male doctor barks back at the female doctor, mentioning what happened to Mrs. Chalmers last week suggesting that she shouldn't let her personal interests get in the way. The female doctor says that she thinks that he's just being defensive. But we cut back to Mrs. Van Houten, who is the victim of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
She's laying in her room. She suggests that they think that she's a whore, letting strangers fuck her in dark hotel rooms. But she does it for the pleasure. She says they like to watch her. She's going to hide herself. As she rambles on, we fade away. We see a shot of a group of men passing around a hookah.
Yes.
There are snakes wrapped around the combustion chamber of this hookah.
Yeah. It's to just to be cool.
Yeah. Behind the group, unwatched by them at first, is Mrs. Van Houten, naked and masturbating. We hear some indistinct chatter.
With the hookah pipe. Like, I believe she's using, like, the end of the hookah pipe.
Okay.
I think is that, it's something.
Yeah. She, she's fucking herself with, the mouthpiece there. We hear some, like, indistinct chatter around the room and the two guys join, and two guys join her. One sticks his cock in her mouth, and the other fucks her with the mouthpiece a bit before going down on her. These two men are played by Starbuck and Kevin James. One continues to fuck her mouth as the other tongues her pussy and ass. The guy giving oral begins to fuck her. They fuck her pussy and mouth while she lays on the ground for a minute. And then she gets on her knees in doggy position and they fuck her mouth and vagina for like that for a while.
Through the whole scene, there's this, I guess the character's in the background talking, but it's just kind of like a mumbling loop.
Yeah, yeah.
That sometimes seems to get distorted.
Yeah.
In ways that are unpleasant.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in English or if it's another language. I can't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it means?
Probably if you slow it down and play it backwards, it's probably a summoning chant for a demon.
No. This movie is evil.
So eventually, one of these guys pulls out and comes on her ass, and the other pulls out and comes on her cheek. The guys, finished, go back to their hookah circle as Mrs. Van Houten looks satisfied, naked on the floor. We fade back to the doctors. The male doctor's shocked by what he finds when he returns to the room, which is Mrs. Van Houten still masturbating. They yell at each other. And the female doctor tells the male doctor to just watch.
It seems like that wouldn't be shocking at this point.
No. We then see Mrs. Van Houten naked on the floor of a room next to a man in a suit. She unbuttons his jacket and shirt and knocks on his chest, which makes a hollow sound.
Hmm.
She moves her hands down to his crotch and unbuttons his pants. Out of his zipper emerges a mostly formed baby fetus.
Ah.
She picks it up shocked, and the man turns towards her and makes weird growling noises as the baby moves.
I don't want to watch Eraserhead. Turn it off.
Mrs. Van Houten drops the baby and seems understandably terrified.
Yes, good.
We cut to another room and hear the sound of water dripping.
Thank God.
Mrs. Van Houten is adjusting her stockings. She stands up and... we see she's in a corset that stops below her exposed breasts. She's wearing panties, stockings, and a garter belt. She caresses her body as she walks towards a mirror and stares at herself. We then see the door to the room is cracked open, and a man in a black mask is watching her. She then reaches into a drawer and pulls out a plastic sex toy that I can't really identify. It's a vibrator with a weird small knob on the end of it.
Yeah, that's before they had, like, the ability to make plastic and curve in miraculous ways. You just had to add extra bits and bobs to get the stimulation all the way up there.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
She begins to fuck herself with this toy as she caresses her breasts. We watch her fuck herself for a couple minutes here from different angles. We then see the man who was watching her enter the room and grab her from behind, dragging her down to the floor and pushing her onto the toilet, where he begins to forcibly fuck her, doggy style. We get chaotic electronic music playing in the background as we get penetration shots and shots of Mrs. Van Houten shaking her head. The invader smacks her ass a bit as he continues to fuck her. He pulls out of her and pushes his cock into her mouth, and she sucks his cock for a minute. The invader then leans Mrs. Van Houten back on the toilet seat and begins to fuck her. He spends a couple of minutes jamming it in her before pulling out and coming on her pubes. He grinds his dick into her pubic hair for a minute before standing up and walking out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Van Houten lays down on the floor and then disappears.
Yeah, she's vanished from her own night dream.
The miraculous vanishing Van Houten.
Whoa. One of the music in the scene is also, once again, just crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like someone's just attacking a xylophone.
Yeah.
Throwing it down the stairs.
Yeah.
Recording the results. I don't know. You probably like it. You like all that Frank Zappa stuff.
I'm not into this.
You love it.
I love xylophones.
I do love xylophones. They're great. They're one of my favorite instruments. They're ding, 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 ding. Can you get me a xylophone?
We might have it in the budget.
You know how much better my Sloppy Hole song would have been if I had xylophoned it?
You're right.
Yeah, it probably would have been completely incomprehensible once you like recorded it, because I don't think we're set up for that kind of audio.
We'll have to work on it.
Yeah, we're going to budget in the recording studio once I get back in the good graces with their CIA bosses.
Meanwhile, the doctors are watching as Mrs. Van Houten is writhing on the floor. The female doctor suggests that their plan is working, and the male doctor seems impressed. But I'm not sure what any of this means. Mm-hmm. She asks, "What do you suppose she's thinking?" Mrs. Van Houten in her room says she knows she's being watched, and she knows when they're stealing her body. She pushes herself against the two-way mirror window that the doctors are watching her through. After a minute of this, the doctor yells, seemingly upset.
Yeah. Who's the doctor? Who's the patient?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
That's what, yeah, Mrs. Van Houten yells that.
Yeah.
And we cut to a kitchen where Mrs. Van Houten is boiling some water and mixing in some cream of wheat.
Uh-huh.
She knows that she loves the feeling of cream of wheat going down her throat. And then a voice yells out, "It really fills a girl up, nutritious and delicious." And then we see on camera a man in a giant cream of wheat box.
Yes.
His face where the man on the box cover would be talking to her. He tells her to eat it before it gets cold, and she goes down and begins to suck his cock.
Oh, yeah. Do you think Weird Al had seen this when he got this man to direct I Lost on Jeopardy?
I sure hope so.
I hope Weird Al has seen all of his films.
this was Cream of Wheat, played by Fast Steppin' Freddy, whose only credit is this movie.
That makes sense. I saw that name in the credits, and it wasn't hard to guess who Fast Steppin' Freddy was, I'll say.
So, this is a wild scene. I had seen a clip from this scene and didn't know what it was, like, years ago. And now I know exactly what it is.
Wow. This man also, this is one of those mascots who got, like, taken away
in
2020. But that seems fine. His name was Rastus, which is just kind of a slur.
Okay.
And he was depicted as barely literate cook who did not know what vitamins were
at
certain points. But he came out in, like, the late 19th century.
Okay.
Yeah. He has a troubling history, as most black mascots do.
But we just kept him going until 2020.
Pretty much. That's how it seems.
I guess it's one of those things that after a while, nobody thinks about it.
Yeah. You're just like, oh yeah, it's Uncle Ben. He sells me my rice.
Right.
You know, that's Aunt Jemima. You don't got that anymore. Now you have, they came up with the worst possible name. It's just named after, like, the company.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, like, the Pearl Milling Company syrup. And I was like, that doesn't... It's like, don't you guys have advertisement execs?
Yeah, you'd think they would have come up with something.
Yeah.
They could have, like, put a dog on it or something.
Yeah, something else.
A wild bear who loves...
Yeah, syrup.
Syrup.
What creature loves syrup the most? A Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
They could have just put, like, a Mountie on it. That would have caused, like, a different crisis for us, probably.
They could have done just a racist caricature of a French Canadian.
Yeah. Maple face.
God.
But that's cream of wheat.
That is Cream of Wheat. And this Cream of Wheat is dancing back and forth, holding a bowl of Cream of Wheat as he's getting a blowjob. And we also get cutaways to a loaf of Wonder Bread. We see the Cream of Wheat man on the floor as Mrs. Van Houten continues to suck his cock, bobbing her head left and right to the music. A man dressed as a slice of toast, Stephen Seyadian.
I found a 1901 or early 20th century Cream of Wheat ad.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to read it.
All right.
Maybe Cream of Wheat ain't got no vitamins. I don't know what them things is. If they's bugs, they ain't none in Cream of Wheat. But she's so good to eat and cheap. Cost about 1 cent for a great big dish. Rastus.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Too many words for an ad to begin with.
Yeah.
It was a
time where people had more time back then.
Yeah. They didn't have to drive everywhere. They were all in trolley cars just looking at their racist ads. Each page you turn it and there'd be a different big lip smiling racial stereotype selling you fucking something.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
I'm not. I never have been. But that's enough of Rastus.
Yeah, we'll leave Rastus in the past.
Yes. Rastus in the pastus. Now, let's talk about bread.
So, yeah, Stephen Seyadian dances on screen as a slice of toast. He walks up behind Mrs. Van Houten and dances as she continues to suck some cock. We cut to Cream of Wheat and Toast dancing around alone, and then cut to a dinner table. We see a man cutting what appears to be a lizard in half on his plate, and then I realize that this is the doctors eating dinner together.
Yes, it's a...
I thought this was another night dream.
No, they're just having a romantic candlelit dinner in the observation room.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're eating lizard.
They are eating lizard with just a very large, like, candelabra full of black candles.
Yes.
I think this movie is evil. This is the kind of thing you would walk in and see Satanists eating.
Yes. The female doctor tells the male doctor that she thinks it needs more basil, as she says. And he tells her it's good as it is. He asks why she can't just enjoy it, and she tells him that she can't settle for the ordinary. That's why she has to push things to their limits. He responds, "We can't choose our delusions, can we?" So then we cut to Mrs. Van Houten smoking a cigarette next to a giant fish. The fish next to her wheezes.
Yeah, he's got asthma, like me. This reminded me of, have you ever seen the music video for the Barnes & Barnes song Fish Heads?
Yes.
Okay. This
yes.
reminds me of that. I had to look it up and see if they were involved in any way. But no, that was Bill Paxton, apparently, who directed that video. But this came out a year later, so I'm sure there's probably an influence bringing in this fish head. It's a great song.
Yeah.
Play it for the rest of the episode.
Okay. We then fade into what appears to be a vision of hell. Caves cast in red light with some fires. Women chained up. A demon in a robe looks over to Mrs. Van Houten, who is on the ground nearby. He says that he sees they have a new slave with them today. It's hard to make out his voice, though, so I lost a lot of his dialogue here.
Yeah, he's unintelligible, and he looks like they've given him, like, a fake brow ridge and some, like, weird facial hair, and it makes him look like someone squished up the Undertaker.
Yeah. So, this demon is played by Starbuck, and, the demon slaps her with a whip, and another slave comes by, this other slave being Lonnie Sanders. The other slave lifts up her dress so they can see her ass. Mrs. Van Houten says to be gentle. She doesn't want pain. The demon laughs about real pain being not having a cable outlet. The other slave kisses and rubs Mrs. Van Houten's ass. Mrs. Van Houten cries out, "Wait, I've never done it with a woman." The other slave licks Mrs. Van Houten's ass. She cries out that it feels too good, and the slave starts to lick Mrs. Van Houten's pussy from behind. This continues for a couple of minutes. Meanwhile, another chained-up woman, played by Michelle Bauer, cries out, "Ream her ass!" The demon smiles and asks...
that's Michelle Bauer?
Yes.
Excellent, a.k.a. Pia Snow.
Yes.
Also in Cafe Flesh.
Yes.
And she doesn't have, like, a penetrative role in this, right? She's just chained up.
She's just chained up.
So no body double for her this time.
Not this time. The demon smiles and asks, "Did I hear someone say ream?" We see the slave affix a strap-on with a weird, sharp-looking demonic tip on the end.
Mm-hmm.
She begins to fuck Mrs. Van Houten with it, who cries out at first. The slave continues to fuck Mrs. Van Houten with the strap-on for a couple of minutes. Mrs. Van Houten cries out, "Please, I need it in the ass!" The slave pulls out, and we see the demon march up behind her with a staff with two dildos on the end.
Yeah, that's his, what is that?
Bident.
his infernal rod.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
He uses the staff to fuck her pussy and ass from behind with these dildos.
Yeah, it has like a regular dildo on the bottom for the pussy, and then kind of like a finger thickness kind of dildo on top.
Yeah.
That he has to like work in a little bit.
Yeah, there's like a really thin part at the tip of it, and then a fatter part behind it. It's weird.
It is weird, and also they should have soundtrack this with Ring of Fire again.
Yes, they should have.
That would have been good. Do we talk about how they're just playing Old Man River and the Cream of Wheat scene?
Oh, no. Oh. We didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it, too.
Yeah.
After a minute of this, the demon comes up behind the other slave and begins to fuck her doggy style. Mrs. Van Houten kisses and licks the other slave's lave. The other slave's leg as this goes on for a bit. And we get a close-up penetration shot from behind as the sounds of screaming and mechanical beats play. This continues for a couple minutes. Then Mrs. Van Houten sucks his cock as the other slave licks his ass and caresses his balls. After a couple of minutes of this, the demon pulls his cock out of Mrs. Van Houten's mouth and comes on her face. She licks and sucks his cock a bit more. The scene ends with the chained-up woman, Michelle Bauer here, crying out that she's wet and asking why she isn't getting any. The demon then rambles a bit, but I couldn't make out what he said at all. So the doctors watch as Mrs. Van Houten moans and masturbates in her room. The male doctor says that the female doctor's gone too far. She's losing it, he says. She tells him that she's on the verge of orgasm. He says, what she's calling an orgasm, he calls a breakdown. She convinces him just to watch. So then we cut to what appears to be a vision of heaven. There, Kevin James, Heaven Man as he's credited.
Yes, or Heaven James.
Heaven James.
Yeah.
He's awaiting with his leg planted on a nearby couch, leaning over and showing his cock. Mrs. Van Houten approaches in a sheer white nightgown and gets down on her knees and begins to suck his cock. This continues for a couple of minutes with our heaven man showing enjoyment on his face. He reaches down to fondle Mrs. Van Houten's breasts as she continues to suck away. After a bit, heaven man props Mrs. Van Houten's leg up on top of the nearby couch and begins to fuck her in this standing doggy position from behind. They make out for a bit as Mrs. Van Houten rubs his cock. Then Heaven Man picks her up and fucks her as he's holding her up in the air. They make out and spin as this continues. We then cut to Mrs. Van Houten sucking Heaven Man's cock as he sits on the couch. We see her stroking his cock as he comes. She continues to stroke it for a bit longer to be thorough. Heaven Man then kisses and licks her breasts a bit and they make out more and the camera slowly zooms out. We then cut back to the doctors. The male doctor says, damn, it's that time again. The door opens up, and behind them, Mrs. Van Houten walks in. They tell her that they hope she had an exciting session. Mrs. Van Houten asks if she'll see them again next week. The two doctors in unison ask, "Do we have a choice?" And the camera zooms in on Mrs. Van Houten's face as we cut to credits. It's just like, wait, what?
Is she in control?
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to think about that as we take a quick break, yeah. And then we'll be back to give our final thoughts on Night Dreams.
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
Woo-wee. What a break.
What a break. What night dreams we had.
And now, once again, it's time for...
The Raincoat Review.
Well, this film is evil. I said that at multiple points throughout the film, and I still think that holds true.
Okay, yeah.
I enjoyed it. It's a very surreal experience, which is, I think, exactly what they were going for. So, you know, achieved. It's a very dark film as well. There's a lot of things that I think are made to make you uncomfortable, which I think goes with the idea that we discussed way back as far as Cafe Flesh about kind of being like anti-erotic films.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a mix of things in here that I would consider erotic and anti-erotic.
Sure.
Like, you know, you can juxtapose like the cowboy scene and the like the heaven scene against stuff like the baby penis man.
Yeah.
Or the Jack in the Box. Things like that that are cut in to make you uncomfortable.
Or even the scene where she gets attacked by the Prowler in the dark.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad one, too. Scary.
In a different way. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how that's all...
Yeah.
All these different types of experiences, I guess.
Yeah. So I thought it was a... It feels to me kind of like a blueprint for stuff like I said, like Cafe Flesh... that they, I think, build on later. Like, I think there's obvious desire to want to go more bizarre and avant-garde with it.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
They get in the next one where you have, like, giant pencils and rats and stuff wandering around fucking people. The narrative's a bit thin, which sometimes I consider that kind of bad. In this case, I sort of like it because there's some... It seems incredibly sinister, and there's no real explanation for any of that.
Right.
Which leaves you wondering exactly what's happening with Dorothy LeMay's character. And in addition, what's going on with these doctors that they're having, like, candlelit lizard dinners.
Right.
There's just a lot. It leaves you with a lot of questions and gives you a sense of unease. You don't get too often in an adult film.
It's a David Lynch adult film.
It does have some of those qualities to it. There really is some stuff that's very unpleasant and borderline disturbing.
Yeah.
This film should be taken off the shelves.
Okay.
No.
I mean, it practically has been. It's only had, like, there was a DVD release of it that we watched for this, but it's like one of those VHS quality transfers.
Yeah, because I had thought it was made later in the 80s, and at first I thought it was shot on video, and I was like, this looks good. Then I was like, oh no, it's just a poor transfer of a film.
Yeah, so hopefully it gets a treatment soon.
Yeah.
Mondo Macabro put out Sayadian's Dr. Caligari on Blu-ray, yeah. And they're supposed to put out Cafe Flesh this year.
Someone recently released the Cafe Flesh soundtrack on vinyl, so
yes,
some interest in the cinematography of these perverts.
Indeed. So
this is one
hopefully this gets the same treatment.
I would like to see this restored as a film meant to arouse you. I think it fails pretty badly.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, I do think the more conventional scenes do tend to be, like, the kind of the more boring ones, like the ones with, like, the sheiks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of just kind of slow-moving, you know, regular sex. But then you get some of the really strange stuff, and you perk up, and you're like, what am I watching? What am I feeling? And I like that. I don't get it too much. I don't know how often I'll revisit this one because it is so strange, but I would definitely highly recommend someone else watch it.
Yeah.
At least once to get your mind warped the same way ours have been warped.
Yes, by the government.
Yeah, by the government. This film was probably funded by the government.
Oh, I'm going to
have to like drill down into like the financing of this film, see what shell corporations...
I don't know. You don't want to look too deep and find out too much information.
Yeah. Yeah. No, or do I?
I don't know. Is this the bridge you're going to die on?
Normally
the hill
it's a
you're going to die on?
It could be a bridge or a hill. I'll die somewhere soon. Especially
more than likely just laying in your bed.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a text message saying I've cracked the case, and then a car is going to blow up on the way over here.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That is how it goes.
But before I plunge too deep into the darkness and can't do this podcast anymore, I'll give this one a 3.5.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.5 as well. I agree. It's not like the best erotic film as far as just eroticism is concerned, but I think that it was an interesting movie to watch. It's not up there with something like a Corruption or really even Cafe Flesh. It's a step behind that, but it's an important step on the way to that.
Yeah.
And it's got some really neat cinematography that this crappy transfer does no service to. So
yeah,
hopefully
some of
it gets
a bit too dark for the transfer to really kind of show what's happening.
And there's probably a lot of neat detail to everything that we're not seeing. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's worth tracking down in the meantime, though. It's an interesting movie. I say that a bunch, but it is whatever. Yeah, I'm going to give it 3.5 stars as well. I liked it. I think people should check it out. If I'm trying to get a boner, it's not going to be the first movie I go to grab.
Do you think we should become... Do you think that we should become...
Should we should become?
Yeah, should we become...
I mean, we were cum at one point.
Oh, yeah. From cum you come from, and to cum you shall return. And don't forget your raincoat. Oh, and don't forget all of our lovely social media.
Yeah, we're going to be off next week, I believe. We've just had some weird scheduling stuff happening.
They keep trying to... they're stealing all my Saturdays.
Yeah, they need to stop making Jeremy work. It's a nightmare. It's a night dream.
It's a... No.
No, it's a nightmare.
It's one of the night... It's the night dream where that baby comes out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and don't forget your raincoats.
Yeah.
Damn. It's that time again.
Yes. Things seem to go so much faster this afternoon.
I hope this was an exciting session for you.
Incredible.
Oh, definitely. The best I can remember.
Excellent. Will I see you next week?
Do we have a choice?